Hey, this is John Amato with Crooks and Liars, bringing you another cool podcast, radio broadcast from Blog-O Land. And right now I'm joined by Mr. Joe McGuire, who was formerly from Reuters, but he was fired after he wrote a book about Ann Coulter called Brainless, The Lies and the Lunacy of Ann Coulter, which sounds like a good title. Anyway, Joe, thanks for jumping into the blogosphere.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
So, just give us a quick, what job did you have at Reuters?
I was a financial markets editor. I had started in the spring, and then the whole book deal sort of came along, and they gave me conditional approval to write the book. I thought I had met the conditions of the approval. They thought otherwise, and we parted ways last week.
Now, that's kind of odd, you know, from your job, you know, and then to say, you know, I'm going to write a Coulter book. How did that come about? Because it seems like the job you had at Reuters was sort of non-political.
Yeah, it was totally non-political. It was, like I said, it working in the financial markets. But I've always sort of been politically aware. It's, you know, something like my parents certainly fostered in me at a young age. You know, they're avid readers of the newspaper. In fact, my mother's a voracious reader of everything. So, you know, I had an interest in it, and, you know, I thought it was about time that somebody sort of stood up and said, hey, look, here's how precisely she misleads you. Here's you know, a bunch of examples of her lies and that sort of thing. So it was an idea that I just sort of popped into my head one day. I pitched it to HarperCollins. They loved it, and the next thing you know, the book's on the shelves.
And suddenly, your bosses didn't approve. And tell me, did they call you into a meeting, or what happened? What's the scenario behind that?
Yeah, there were a couple of meetings. You know, the details of which are privileged, of course. But it really the whole sort of, I don't know if you want to call it a breakdown of my relationship with Reuters, did come about sort of suddenly. Again, you know, I thought I had met the conditions of my approval, which incidentally concern what they call the Reuters Trust Principles, which govern the objectivity and fairness of Reuters employees when they are representing themselves as Reuters employees. I was meticulous and vigilant in keeping the Reuters name away from this book, precisely because it was an entirely personal endeavor. How the Reuters Trust Principles govern me as a private citizen, I'm not quite sure. You know, they certainly don't get to tell me how to vote or who I can speak with or you know, go out to dinner with. I don't see how they would govern what I write and publish in my own time. But they felt otherwise.
No, and I understand when you're in a news agency, and especially with these times, they want to sort of make everything neutral on a person's, you know, who's working for their staff. But if you've met their trust principles and they knew about the book, it's unfathomable why they would just say, "Up, you're fired." Do you think that there was any pressure because it was against Ann Coulter? Do you have any insight into that?
No, you know, I really, you'd have to ask Reuters, and it's hard for me to speculate about what their thinking was. Again, you know, I'm sort of, as I said, benignly characterizing it as a misunderstanding between two parties. Again, I don't know where or when the misunderstanding specifically arose. You're right. The news organizations these days are under a tremendous amount of pressure to maintain certainly the image, if not the actuality of fairness and objectivity. Again, I don't think that governs me as a private citizen. And the fact is, you know, the book. Okay, yeah, fine. It's called Brainless, and it's jokey, and it is certainly unflattering to Ann Coulter. But it is a truly journalistic exercise, with jokes included, to borrow Al Franken's a phrase there. But it really does sort of break down her arguments into their component parts and show you, hey, look, here's where she's going wrong when she constructs her arguments.
Well, there's plenty of that going around because Brainless is a very good title, and I've always led a charge against her misrepresentations and just, you know, flat out just disgusting, revolting attacks on liberals or anything that she perceives as an attack on her, whatever her conservative beliefs are, because they're all over the place. What I find really amazing these days is that there is this pressure because the right wing does go after journalists and institutions. You know, on the left, we want journalists. We don't want them fired. We don't want organizations destroyed. We want people to do a better job. We don't want sloppiness, and we want to have more facts available. Well, on the right side, I mean, they literally want to break down big media, and because the whole liberal media theme has been, you know, incorporated into their psyche for 20-some-odd years, and I think it's also transferred over now to the media outlets, and they immediately just don't want to be called liberal media, even if they're not. And do you find that's part of this?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's face it, this is inarguably the most secretive presidential administration of all time, certainly in the modern age. I mean, that's completely fair to say. And look what happened in the lead up to the Iraq War. The White House press corps, you know, afraid to be seen as you know, too left wing or even, you know, too probing. The questions just simply were not being asked. And, you know, there's an overcompensation. When someone accuses you as a not just an institution, a particular news agency, but rather as a whole of being too left-wing, you as you sort of try to swing back to the middle to appease these people, whether they're right or wrong, you always overcompensate. And the next thing you know, people aren't asking good questions. And, you know, and when Helen Thomas is the biggest hard ass in the White House press corps, maybe we ought to rethink things. Don't get me wrong, I love Helen Thomas, but you know, hey, it's you know, other people have to ask the tough questions too. I learned this long ago. News stories don't have to be balanced; they have to be fair. And if it's fair in the sense that five bad things happened over here and only one bad thing happened over here, well, then that's the way you report it. The truth is the ultimate defense. And we have set aside the truth to be balanced, and that's where we really, really go wrong. And, you know, this, I think the case with my book is I'm speaking the truth in my book, and you know, at the sacrifice of my job. But it was too important for me to, and this sounds a lot more high-minded than it really is, of course, but the truth in this case was a lot more important to me than my job at the time. Somebody needs, and I will defend Ann Coulter's right to say anything she wants, wherever and whenever she wants to, but I will also defend my right to stand up and say, you're lying.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's critical, because that's what goes on, and we see, obviously, my site, and I cover all the talking heads and cable news and regular news, and some of the things people are allowed to say on the air, and they're allowed to say because the producers, and they hired them to come on, or they have them come on, and they're allowed to speak, and they can say anything they want.
Sure.
And then they're not armed with any facts to say, you know, that's not right. I mean, one of the biggest clips I'd had on my site was David Letterman and Bill O'Reilly, when Bill O'Reilly was going on with his war on Christmas nonsense, and,
right,
and Letterman just said, I think you're full of it.
Right.
And it was huge, and I said, this is the way everybody should, you know, talk to a political person who's going to go on their show, whether it's Leno, whoever it is, Ferguson, I mean, the Today Show. If you're a person in a political context, then you should be, you know, put on the spot to defend your views instead of just say whatever you want and then, okay, thank you very much. And you know, so what, you know, you have the right to do that.
Yeah.
It's a shame that Reuters fired you, but, you know, we're not going to let the story die. I want to give you a couple of minutes to come on and let people hear who you are. So is there anything, can you give us a little, just one little anecdote or something from the book?
Sure. You know, one of the things, I was flipping through it this morning, and one of the things that jumped out at me again was her, and this is a prime example of how she'll take a bit of information that might contain a little bit of truth, and then so twisted and distorted so that it just winds up being absurd. In her most recent book, Godless, she basically contends that asserts that all teachers are pedophiles, and uses this number that she has come up with, that 1 in 10 school students in the United States has been the victim of sexual abuse at the hands of a teacher or educator. I break that down. I show how her argument is so profoundly flawed, how her statistics are so profoundly flawed, that she's off by a factor of 1,000. Now, clearly I'm not defending predatory sexual behavior, especially when it comes to children, and the fact is there may be a problem with sexual abuse in schools, but to then say that 1 in 10 kids has been sexually abused by a teacher, really, I think it just distorts the argument to the degree that the truth is completely lost.
That's for sure. I mean, we've all been in school. I was in public school with 40 kids in a classroom, and I don't know of any of my schoolmates that have been abused, but it's not saying that it's not going on, and it's not something we should deal with. But again, there is distortion of the facts to make themselves sound right, with this whole idiotic, schools and teachers, they're too liberal. It's ridiculous, but that's why I'm glad you wrote the book, and we will be speaking again, and thanks for jumping into the blogosphere, and I'll be featuring your book again on the site, and I've seen that it's jumped up way up in the rankings in Amazon.
It has, thanks to you.
And, thanks to my readers, and thanks to the people that are buying the books.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, it's hand in hand, and so we appreciate you giving me a couple of minutes, and good luck, and hopefully this book will be a big seller, and then there'll be other books, and another news job.
Thank you, man.
All